Welcome to the Rise Rooted podcast. If you're a mom who feels like you've lost yourself along the way, you have landed in the right spot. I'm your host, Catherine Middlebrooks, founder of BRB Yoga and postpartum health expert who has helped thousands of moms rebuild their bodies after baby. Each week, join me and my guests as we explore ways to create health in mind and body so that you can live a life you love. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Today, I am bringing you a conversation with Julie Tenner, the pleasure nutritionist. Julie is an experienced facilitator of deep women's work, a naturopath, a doula, and a mother of four who teaches women how to love wider, feel safe in surrender, and open to their untapped power. With over 15 years experience working in women's physical and emotional health, Julie believes pleasure is the missing ingredient to awakening women from the inside out. Bringing a distinctive combination of knowledge infused with heart and soul, Julie reaches women all over the world via her podcast, Nourishing the Mother, Women's Circles, Ceremony, and Transformational Online Programs. Julie will revolutionize the way you relate to yourself and the ones you love, bringing deeper connection and richer intimacy. And that last line is so very true. And I think that you will see that after you listen to this episode. Julie is, one, just a pleasure to listen to. She really expertly weaves metaphor and story into her teaching. And I find myself just wanting to hear her speak more. She could go on forever and I would say, come on, keep going. But this conversation, I had trouble actually titling it because we cover so very much. We talk about accessing pleasure on your own, accessing pleasure within intimate relationships, embodying feminine energy and the power that comes from that feminine energy, and so much more. And now having listened back to the episode, I find that this statement, revolutionizing the way you relate to yourself and the ones you love, is so true about Julie's work. Even just from this hour-long conversation, I have found myself rethinking many things about my own life, the way that I relate to the big feelings that I have always had in my life, thinking about the way that I show up in my intimate relationship and what that evokes in my partner and when we are repelling each other and when we are attracting each other, which you'll see she talks a lot about polarity and magnetism between the masculine and the feminine. So there's a lot here. Just enjoy it. Just a quick note, there are a few places where our Skype connection got a little funky, but nothing that will ruin the experience for you. We have since changed the recording software that we are using, so hopefully that does not happen in future interviews. I'd also love to ask a favor. Those of you who are listening to the podcast and enjoying it, if you have someone that you would love to hear interviewed on the show, please let me know. Send me an email at catherine@brbyoga.com letting me know who you would like to hear from so that I can reach out to them and ask them for an interview. Okay, that's all I've got for you. Enjoy the interview with Julie Tenner. Julie, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. What a gift. I feel really grateful. So thank you. How gorgeous. Women having conversations always is extraordinary.
I agree. You know, I was thinking about what we should start with, and really with your body of work, I felt like there are so many ways that we could go with this. But where I wanted to start was with a conversation about pleasure and really exploring the value of pleasure for women and mothers, because I really see when I kind of look at, you know, even my own experience and the experience of many of the women that I work with, so many of us seem what I would call, we have this pleasure deficit that we really don't allow ourselves to enjoy experiences that are fundamentally pleasurable. Things like eating delicious food, right? We taint that with guilt. Even moving our bodies. Often we will make movement or exercise more of a punishment for our body or a way to control, you know, the way our body looks. And then when you think about sex and intimate relationships, we're so up in our heads that it's super hard for us to drop into our bodies and really experience and feel pleasure. So I just see this lack of pleasure for so many women, and I'm totally guilty of it myself too. So I want to start there. Can you talk to us about the benefits of pleasure? Like, what does it open up to us as women? And why should we be making this more of a priority for ourselves?
Yeah. So I want to start with, I called myself the pleasure nutritionist because I'm trained as a naturopath. So clinically, I've always worked with women's health. And what I realized was whatever paradigm women chose, it was pleasure that was missing. Mm-hmm. And I felt like if we just sprinkle like glitter, a bit of pleasure on the thing that you're wanting to do or change or experience, it's like magic for the feminine being. And all of a sudden it becomes enjoyable and delightful and something that I wish to take into my body or my world. But in pleasure's absence, we still have this, I think, very old patriarchal model of it takes punishment and internal punishment forces such as guilt and shame in order to motivate us enough. It's like we need to be punished in order to do the thing that we're supposed to do. And often the feeling of pleasure is like, well, it can't feel good and be good for me. And so we've been so conditioned away from what the truth of a feminine being and body is, which is it is in itself in and of pleasure. It's born by pleasure, for pleasure. You know, like it's the symbol of the goddess. It's the movement of energy through her body that enlivens itself and I think honestly heals the world. You know, one cell, one person, one feeling at a time. So what I realized was whatever we were working on, if we just sprinkled in whatever was a pleasureful act that was involved with that, all of a sudden it radically transformed how deeply that woman took it into her world and integrated into part of her being. And how profoundly the changes happened at the other end. So for me, pleasure is the missing ingredient in whatever it is that women choose to do. We seem to think that if, you know, as I said, if it has pleasure, that somehow it's wrong. And I think we're so mixed up in our culture about what pleasure is and how much we're allowed. It's like this scarcity mindset, like a form of abundance. Well, I can't have that much. Who am I to, you know, and I just, if only we knew what pleasure could do. And I think this is the other thing is that pleasure is often not convenient. It's often easier to say no to because we're more conditioned to than to say yes and take it into our bodies. It's easier for us to not receive. It's easier for us to be givers than it is to be takers. And so even when we're offered an opportunity where we could say yes to something that would feel good, often these innate pathways in our body are like, no, it can't be good. You're not allowed to take that path. And so we'll deviate away from pleasure, as opposed to if pleasure were my priority right now in this moment and in this moment and in this moment, the same question, if pleasure were my priority right now, what would I choose? And I often think that's the question that should guide whatever practice we're doing, same as, you know, the beautiful work that you do, as you know, I did your work. So if we can ask ourselves what would invite in pleasure that would invite me into being in this space rather than trying to force, coerce or manipulate myself into doing something that doesn't feel intrinsically innate or delightful to me, what would that look like? Would it look like a beautiful yoga mat? Would it look like lighting a candle and putting a heater on so my space is warm? Would it look like a hot steaming cup of tea to do work? Or would it look like playing music that moves my hips when I make breakfast for my kids? Like if we could just add in pleasure rather than take away and create more scarcity, I think women's health and body connection and relationships would be completely different.
I love that notion of it really being almost an integrator, like you, the way you described it, as if, thinking about even something like as simple as exercise or eating, if we make sure that what we choose does bring us some pleasure, we really can embody, we can live that exercise, we can take in that nourishment in a different way than if we see it as separate from us. It's like the pleasure really allows it to become a part of us. Oh, that's so juicy.
Yeah. And I think, so this is the thing, is that you're going, oh, I feel that in my body. And I'm like, yeah, because you're a feminine being and there's something so ancient that's programmed into your cells that's like, oh, swoon. Oh, surrender. There's my energy. Oh, now, we forget that, we don't have this finite amount of resource. You know, we don't like these car engines that we fill up with this petrol called energy and then we run it out at some point and we're exhausted and depleted and fall over. We're beings literally that are manifested to move life energy through our body, and that feels like pleasure. That's what life energy feels like. And when we receive and move that through ourselves, we actually get to surrender and let go. Our physical body relaxes. The space relaxes around where we speak, our voice relaxes. And all of a sudden we find this invitation to energy that isn't in scarcity or isn't going to run out, that when we put consciously practices and moments in our day to come back to that flow of energy and receive it inwardly, that we have more of an overflowing space to give out. It's a continuation of the cycle because you are life energy. That's what you are. As an embodiment of the divine feminine, that's your birthright, to cycle energy, receive energy in, to amplify it and mix it with the life force and experience through your body and send it out as something that has bigger supernova waves to influence and heal whoever and the world, around you. So I really genuinely think we can heal all of the hurt places of people in the world just by stepping into our pleasure.
Yeah, even thinking about, the most concrete form of pleasure as an orgasm, like feminine bodies, we can have as many as we want to have. There's no that's your limit. Now you need to rest for a while, right? We can just experience pleasure after pleasure after pleasure if we allow ourselves to, as opposed to the masculine, where they really can't, physically that is not possible for them. And so that notion of the feminine body as uniquely suited for receiving and accessing pleasure, I think that's such an important thing to be mindful of, that we are really meant for that. Even, something as simple as breastfeeding and the oxytocin dump that we get in our brain that feels so delicious. Do you find the thing that is keeping people from accessing that is that they are in their heads and not in their bodies? Because the pleasure is found in the body.
Yes, it is, but I probably just expand that just a tiny bit more, because I think sometimes it seems easy to say, but just get in your body. And yet what I recognize with working, as I'm sure you would too, with working with women, is it's somewhat more complicated than saying, just leave your head.
Yeah.
Because that sometimes feels like, a monumental task where you're like, but I can't.
Right.
So I guess I'm more interested in the reasons why you can't. And, that's largely what I see is, and I'm going to tell you it through the lens of the mermaid. So I don't know about you in America, we're in Australia and the mermaid has popped up in pop culture. So it's all over kids' Duna covers and, artwork and mermaid, pots and, all sorts of stuff. Is the mermaid potent in pop culture in your?
I don't think so. Not in that way, no.
Okay. So here it's like the unicorn phase. Now it's the mermaid phase.
Yeah, I think we're still in unicorn.
Okay. Well, I'm telling you, mermaid's coming. So I find that fascinating because there's something ancient and archetypal about what the mermaid represents. And I just want to talk about it from this lens because I think it works so beautifully for women to have a metaphor to come back to. So the mermaid, classically, if you go back through its story weaving history, is born out of fear of the deep. So she has this line that she cuts between the human embodiment that is above her and the deep sea embodiment that is below her. So she's half fish that swims in the undulating sea with this enormous wide tail that's full of power and can dive her deep into what underwater would be represented as the feminine unconscious or embodiment. And above the surface, she appears to sailors and she's so magnificently beautiful. The siren's call, the one who can't be resisted, the top half of her human form that is seen in the daylight above the surface. But what we find is that where, she still stays beautiful in most of our modern day culture, anciently in story, she was a warning for men. She was a warning for she will beckon you by all of these masculine traits. So beautiful, rational, peaceful, calm, seen in the daylight. It's all of these top aspects of what we might call the headspace, what the masculine, you know, loves and adores, and the masculine within us too. But in these ancient fairy tales, once she's seduced the masculine and he's so enraptured with her, she pulls him under. She changes instantaneously into something that's ferocious and man-eating. So, and she can dive with her prey down into the deep where he can't survive. And I love this metaphor because it reminds me of the fear that the masculine slash that line in our body that women often draw that keeps us at the surface of what our culture says is beautiful and acceptable and desired and wanted. But the truth of her power comes from the lower half of where she exists in this world. But the masculine is so terrified that it seems like a death if we enter that lower surface, being the emotional states, the currents, the deep life energy that can move through a woman's body, her ability to go deep and swim deep, right? So I love this idea that it's told in so many ancient stories, yet if you take it from a feminine perspective, she knows that she gets her energy from diving down deep, that her home is the deep, that the sensation of currents and colors and tail movements are all the sensuality that reconnects her to her power source. She only comes above the surface occasionally. So I just think it's worth considering how our culture encourages us to create a split between masculine and feminine, to create this divide between our power source and what it says is acceptable. So we love something that's predictable. Can you just go back to the way that you were? Because the way that you were makes sense to me, and it's rational and calm and doesn't disturb me, and I know where I stand. So just like freeze. Stay like that, and then I've got you. So, which is, you know, so I get it from the masculine that isn't so used to the flow of currents and energy. So the feminine loves and is enlivened by the flow of energy through her body, the flow of love, the flow of pleasure, the flow of any type of energy through her body. The masculine is most at home in nothingness. So the more empty he is, the less something there is, like those disturbances, those emotional, he's like, you can't be enjoying that. That's like pain and suffering for me. So just if you just stop, you're going to feel better. But for the feminine being, she's like, oh, I'm swimming below the surface. I'm back at home in my body. I'm letting go of all of the pain and constriction of being above the surface. This feels magnificent.
Right. I can just be. Like, that really is the true stepping out of your head and into your body. It's like you aren't thinking of the way that you are, or how you're responding, or how you're acting. You're literally just being in the flow.
Yeah, but the flow, I just want everyone to get, is not, because we're often told, you're too much, please stop being that, you need to calm down, come back to your head, come back to your human form that I know. And it's not, we ingrain those messages as being something that's about us, but the truth is that it isn't. It's about the fact that that person is experiencing, usually the masculine is experiencing, the overwhelm of too much flow of energy in their body. So that tension is so rise, they go, but you need to stop. Not me. I don't need to stretch into it. You need to be less so that I feel better. And so we ingrain these messages that diving below our surface is really unsafe, that it results in a reduction of love, a withdrawal of love, a rejection of our hearts. And so we ourselves then become part of that narrative where we won't allow ourselves to do that because it equals less love, less energy, rejection and withdrawal. And they are deeply painful for the feminine body, mind and heart. So we will reject ourselves, even rejected from necessarily an external source. And we'll pattern repeat that then in our relationships. So I just think it's more complicated than saying, let's just get in our bodies, because I think we need to have an awareness of why it's so hard for us, so that we can come into a place of reverence and then go, oh, this, I get to choose to be the mermaid right now. I get to, and I get it. You like nothingness, and I get it. It's beautiful because your nothingness is delicious for me as well. But that doesn't mean that I can't be the life force of everythingness. So I just really love that overlay of just reminding ourselves, I'm not too much. My stories are old. I can change them at any point because they're not about me. They're about the culture's desire to disconnect women from ultimately their power source. And we continue to, you know, run the patriarchal story that's been run for centuries.
Oh, and it's so strong, isn't it? Thank you for sharing that analogy. It's really landing for me. And It's making me think of the times when I feel most connected to that energy within me. It's usually if I'm out by myself in nature. Those are the times when I really allow that energy to move through me. And multiple times I have had this moment, which I am seeing now really is coming from, you know, the culture that I've been living in, where I have this moment of feeling all of this energy and feeling my body moving almost independently and thinking, I'm losing my mind, which literally I am, right? At that moment, I literally am losing the conditioning of my mind that tells me this is the way you're supposed to be. This is the way you're supposed to function. And yet I feel the fear rise up of, this is not the way you're supposed to behave. And literally something is wrong with you. And then the fear of like, you're going to be put away somewhere, you know? So there's all these layers.
It's so old.
So old. So probably not mine in this life even, but when you start feeling the true power of that life force, which really does come from pleasure, how every part of your being, because you have so often been in relationship with people who don't want women experiencing that power, it is to stamp it down and tap it out. And that's so sad for us, isn't it? Oh.
Yeah, it really is. But also, I think we're in the era where we get to choose to reclaim those ancient and potentially lost parts of our own lineage and heal ourselves. We heal every generation that comes after us. And I think that's an enormous invitation.
Let's go then a little bit deeper here on relating with another. So talking more about intimate relationships, because these really are these beautiful laboratories that we get to have where we do get to play, if you're in a heterosexual relationship, particularly between the balance of masculine and feminine. And it seems like there are lots of ways that this goes wrong. And that's not like a judgment, right? It's not like, oh, the woman's doing something wrong or the man is doing something wrong. It's this is a dynamic interpersonal relationship. So I'm responding to him, he's responding to me. But so often it seems like somewhere within that relationship, we get stuck in patterns that can really turn down the volume on intimacy and compassion and all the things that you want to have with your significant other. So what do you see that stands in our way? Where are we getting blocked and where are we blocking our partner?
Where to start with that? I think the way that we habitually show up in relationship is completely different to the truth of who we are. So as you said that before, I was like, yeah, totally. Like we habituate into patterns of being that is not truthful to actually what would feel most, you know, pleasureful or heartful in any and all moments. We just have these programmed go-tos, and it can be hard to get off that track because, as you know, our brain is meaning-making and track-laying, and we just love to lay track in our brain and run that same track over and over and over until it's a gorge.
And you have another person laying track as well, and so you like both get entrenched in your own interacting separate tracks. So that makes it even more complicated.
Yeah, totally. So anytime that we want to break a track or we want our train to form, our brain to form, you know, a neuroplastic new way of being or belonging in relationship or in any part, we have to pattern interrupt where we're at and we have to change what we're doing. So the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. So we have to change what we're doing to have a different reality. And I think that you get the opportunity to stretch that and find more pieces of you. So you can have a relationship where you're deeply in love, but there is zero chemistry. You're like best friends or brothers and sisters, or, you know, I don't think that masculine and feminine is gender-based. I think it's a polarity spectrum that exists within us. So we all have this sliding ruler bar of deep masculine, mountain-esque, empty nothingness, you know, seeking energy, purpose, power, strength, forward movement, direction, challenge that we rise to, ability to provide, and, you know, and at the other end, we have deeply feminine energy, full body movement, ecstasy, pleasure, life moving through her body, love moving through her body. And then we have everything in between. So we're on this slider bar and we will continuously, depending on what our day requires. But our universe is constructed upon laws of opposites. So the same universal laws of polarity exist within ourselves as they exist within our relationship. So opposites attract. Like a battery, like a magnet, we have a positive pole and we have a negative pole within us, and we attract the equal and opposite positive or negative pole in our partner. So if I'm in my masculine and I'm taking up that slider ruler bar of my masculine, I'm really in my head, I'm direction focused, I'm telling him our movement, our motion, what we're doing, or I'm in, you know, CEO boss mode, and I don't consciously have a practice to shift myself out of that, there will be a part of me, if I'm a core feminine being, as I'm born, like that sense of energy, surrender, letting go, being taken is actually what feels most enlivening for me. But I'm living over here in my boss energy so much that I can't get out of it. Mm-hmm. I will feel exhausted and depleted. But if I stay there in terms of the law of opposites and I'm way down the masculine end, what will happen is I will literally evoke in my partner and push his pole to slide all the way down to the opposite and equal feminine end. So he'll be bitchy and emotional and full and can't take anything, you know, and I'm going like, oh God, man up. But I'm taking up all of that polarity. There's nothing for him to step into. By the law that our universe is constructed upon, there can't be two of the same, or you will repel each other like two magnets. Think of two either you have opposites that come together and there's chemistry, or you have two of the same and they push each other away. So this is what will happen, where we will repel the other, will be repulsed by the other's way of being, and sexuality will diminish. The point of having chemistry and passion and desire is that it requires an electricity spark or arc, like a battery. You need a positive and a negative in order for there to be this spark and arc of electricity that makes the chemistry that is the sort of hotness and the tension and the deliciousness between two poles. So if you have two of the same, there is no arc of electricity. But this is the thing with love, is that love wants to contract the distance and make more of the same. I want you to be more like me. I want you to like what I like. I want you to see the world the way that I see it. I want you to share my values in the way that I do it. I want you to be like me. So love contracts distance, but in doing that contraction, desire disappears because there's no opposite, there's no spark, there's no positive and negative. To have desire, you need opposite. So love contracts, desire needs opposite space. So I think just understanding it just simply from a universal law or polarity perspective allows you to go, so it's not like I am and he is and, you know, well, this, we're stuck here forever. Like we often say, I feel unmet, I feel unseen, he's not meeting me, I just want to let go, I want a man who's strong enough to take me. You know, we have all of these sentences, but every time we want to throw out a you statement, it's hiding the I part of that. I feel unmet, yeah, because I haven't opened my heart. He can't meet what he can't see. He can't touch what he can't feel. So if I have all of these thicknesses and blocks and stories and hurt love stories that keep me kind of like just covering my heart just enough so that I won't really risk it just in case maybe I get hurt again, then the depth to which you can open is the depth to which he will meet you. So if I'm going, he's pretty shit at meeting me right now. Because your heart's pretty covered right now.
Yeah.
We evoke the opposite and equal in the other always. That's what our universe is constructed upon, those laws. I can't see you. Yeah, I can't see you. See me. Yeah. I can't actually see the center of you because there's always this cloaking or hiding of the truth of who you are. Every time I shove down my emotions, every time I smooth the surface of the pond, every time I like, and I'm inside going like this, but I keep it smooth and soothed because what if, and maybe, and he might, and he probably will, and we do make all of these assumptions based on our past hurts, and we completely rob ourselves of the opportunity to be met and seen, and we rob the other of the opportunity to grow and meet us and see us. And then we go, but you don't see me. Yeah, but honey, you haven't learned how to actually show him the truth of who you are in the moment. You know, so I just think there's so much self-responsibility that we have as women to actually take back and reclaim the polarity of the feminine that is perhaps harder work than what our very masculine dominated culture likes, because we would like to be able to say, well, he's not man enough for me and therefore I don't have to change. And he doesn't meet me, therefore I don't have to open my heart. You know, so I just think in reclaiming the truth of the power of our feminine, because we have to enter old hurt stories